Okay, well, I thank you for the opportunity to get to speak this morning. I just wanted to share with you my notes. Sue said, how in the world are you ever going to get anything talked about with notes like that? Well, I printed it out, and then, of course, as you go through it, you begin to make little notes to the side. But today, I want to talk about the practice of prayer, and as usual, I always pick something that I really need in my life. It's a good lesson for me, and I hope someone else needs this as a reminder. The purpose of the lesson today is to encourage others to be more diligent in their prayer life, and I hope that we get that accomplished today. Our goal is to, when we're finished, to realize that it's very important to pray without ceasing. We're going to be looking at four things this morning. When should we pray? Number two is, with whom should we pray? Number three, how should we pray? And number four, what we should pray for. And whenever I printed this out, it's got like 9 pages in it, Jim, so I'm not going to hit every point, but I've picked out some things that I think are very important. And when we think about prayer in our prayer life, there are some people who only pray on Sunday, and, you know, oftentimes they're not praying on Sunday. It's one of the elders or the deacons, you know, or somebody else that's bringing the prayer forth. So they really have no prayer life at all. They just get to listen to someone else praying. You know, and it's like we oftentimes don't pray unless there's a crisis, you know, like in the time of the coronavirus. You know, a lot of people have been lifting up their prayers to God. And as I think it was Jim or Jay was telling me the other day, you know, reminding me that a lot of people in our country are going back to using God in the conversation and these things. But it's all because of the coronavirus, and they're hoping that God will be able to help them through that. But when we look at when we should pray, having a set time to pray can help us to create a habit of praying. And that's what prayer is about, is creating that habit where we will pray at a certain time, a certain day, certain place. It's like me and my friend Mike Peacock back in Oklahoma. I've lived here for 12 years, and every Thursday at 8:45, I give him a call, find out what's going on down there, and let him know how our family's doing, and, you know, just talk back and forth. And that's a habit that Mike and I have gotten into, and I think it's a good habit. But it is important for us to always develop that good prayer habit. If we don't, we're like a marathon runner. He's going to run a marathon next Saturday, but over the last 2 months, he's only ran once a week. He's not going to make it very far in our prayer life unless we get into the habit of praying, learn to pray, and what to pray for, and all of those things. We sometimes fall short. But when we look at a set time, we have a couple of examples here. One is David, whom God described as a man after his own heart. In Psalms 55:17, we see David says, evening and morning and at noon, I utter my complaint and moan. So we see that David, at least 3 times a day, every day, went to God in prayer. We see in Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, when Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house where he had windows in his upper chamber open towards Jerusalem. He got down on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks for God as he had done previously. So we see we have a couple of good examples from great men of God where they had a set time at least 3 times a day that they went to God in prayer. And at least for us, we should find some time each day to be alone with God in prayer, whether it be early in the morning, or others might find it easier to be alone at night. I know Donna was talking about, her and I in church one day were talking, and she said that she likes working on her, her lessons, you know, in the evening. And I told her that if I was to do that, I would find it laying on my chest the next morning because it would just put me right to sleep. But anyway, so early in the morning would be a good time for me. But it's one of those things that we have to do consistently. We have to set times to do that. It's just like during this coronavirus. I used to get up at about 6 o'clock every morning and, you know, get around, go get ready to start the day. Even though I'm retired, I had things to do, but now I'm kind of out of the habit. And if I have to get up early, it really is a struggle. So that's one of the things that we need to do is to have a set time. Prayer should not be limited to set times, though. We have example of Jesus where he was praying on an important occasion in Luke chapter 6, verse 12 through 13. In these days, he went out to the mountain to pray. And all night he continued in prayer to God. And when day came, he called his disciples and chose them 12, whom he named apostles. So we see that an important decision was about to be made. And Jesus, our Lord and Savior, took time to pray. We see Paul and Silas there in Acts 16:25 when they were in prison. They were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening. So when we get into trying circumstances, that's another time when we should be praying. Nehemiah praying on the spur of the moment when he asked the king. He prayed to God first in Nehemiah 2:4-5. He said, "So I prayed to God of heaven, and I said to the king, if it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in your sight, that you send me to Judah, to the city of my father's grave, that I may rebuild it." So we see that we have set times when we pray, and then we have times when we pray when certain occasions, circumstances, or things come up. But the goal is found in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, where it says, "Pray without ceasing." Having set times helps us develop the experience of prayer. Praying spontaneously as needs will develop the disposition of prayer in every circumstance. When it comes time to open the building for worship, that would be a good time for us to begin to pray. When godly wisdom is needed, that's another good time to pray. Well, we saw when we should pray. With whom should we pray? Jesus exhorted us to pray in secret. You know, that's probably the biggest thing in our prayer life is to pray in secret. We need to, as it talks about, we don't have to go into the closet, but we need to have a time that I can pray to God, that I can talk to God. In Matthew 6:5-6, "And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you." So we see that private prayer should occupy the largest portion of our total life of prayer. We should consider the value of secret prayer. It forms a close union or a communion and fellowship with God. It's a true test of our sincerity and devotion. And your Father will reward you openly, as we read just a little bit ago in Matthew 6:6. Therefore, private prayer should be a priority for each and every one of us. I mean, we find time to watch our favorite TV show. We find time to, like I do on Thursday nights, to call my good friend in Oklahoma. We find time to do all kinds of things, but oftentimes we don't take time to go into the closet and to pray to God so that we can have those answers and we can have that private conversation with him. He also spoke about praying with two or three in Matthew 18:19-20. "Again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they say, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am also." We see that the early Christians prayed together often. You know, they came together at least on the first day of the week. Sometimes they came together daily, you know, and broke bread, you know, ate together and prayed together. But we see that in times of trouble, they came together and they prayed. In times of departure, they came together and prayed. And we see that there is a sweetness of fellowship, and a sense of strength comes when God's people pray together. Therefore, praying with others should be done as often as possible. You know, and that's what's so great about being able to go to worship. You have different people lifting up the prayers, and it's great. And it does pull you together and help you to have that that fellowship with one another. Okay, how should we pray? Well, Jesus taught us to pray in Luke 11, 1 through 4. We all are familiar with the Lord's Prayer. So he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one.'" So when we look at the Lord's Prayer, to whom should we pray? It says, "Our Father in heaven." For God's purpose, your kingdom come and your will be done. Praising God, hallowed be your name. For our physical and spiritual needs, give us this day our daily bread. For our spiritual needs, forgive us our sins. And for spiritual needs also, forgive, we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. He also stressed the importance of simplicity in our prayers. I always tease the people at the Current Road congregation. I said, you know, I used to once be a Baptist back years and years ago. And so it wasn't anything to have a 10-minute prayer. So, you know, every once in a while they have to throw something at me to get me to be quiet. But it says in Matthew 6, 7 through 8, "And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." So a lot of people, I think, they don't like praying in public or even praying by themselves because, you know, they don't know all those big, long, fancy words, and they don't know how to heap things up on top of one another. But we're not to do that. We need to pray simple prayers. But as I was looking at this, it brought up a question. Why pray if God knows what we need? Why do we need to pray if God already knows what we need? Well, just a couple of things, and I'm sure there's a lot more. It helps remind us of what we do need. It helps us remind us of maybe a situation that Jim Harris Savage might be going through in his life. And then the second thing, it helps us to remember who can answer our prayers. God's the only one that can answer it for us. One of the things that I saw or found, they called it, it was a long, big, long word, acrostic. I had to look that up because I didn't know exactly what in the world that meant. It usually has something to do with poems, but it's usually when you take the first letter and spell out a word to use as a reminder. And the word that I have here is ACTS, A-C-T-S. And if we can remember that, it'll help us when we go to the Lord in prayer. A is for adoration. When we go there, we need to be praising God. And I appreciate John's prayer a while ago. As he was praying, I thought, well, there goes the lesson right there, because he was doing lots of the things that I was going to be talking about. But we see that we need to be praising God in our prayer. Adoration, spending time in sincere praise of God's greatness will help put us in the proper spirit of humility. C, confession, acknowledge our sins before God. So it's very important. 1 John 1:9, we read, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, it's sad that in the world there are a lot of people now that they don't believe after they've been baptized and things that they have to ask for forgiveness of sin. You know, that's what being a Christian is all about. We have the opportunity, if we mess up in our life, to go to God and he'll forgive us of the sins that we've committed. T is thanksgiving, an important part of prayer, even those in which we are making requests. The benefit of giving thanks is it causes us to acknowledge God's existence, love, and care. It reminds us of his goodness. It helps us shift our focus from what we don't have to what we do have. I think prayer and being thankful to God, if we have any ounce of narcissism in us, maybe that'll help get rid of that, because we need to be thinking about others. Things we can see in our lives, you know, the health that we have. You know, some people say, well, I don't have good health. Well, you're still standing. You're still able to breathe. You're still able to eat. You're still able to walk. You can see across the room. You can enjoy your grandkids. You can enjoy your wife. You know, you can enjoy a ride in the country. So we all have health. Sometimes it's comes in different flavors. We can see our family and friends. We can see God's guidance and answer to our prayers. Things we may not be able to see is our adoption as his children, the forgiveness of our sins, the hope of eternal life. But after what John said last week, I think maybe we can see that, because that hope is that promise that God has given us, that we have eternal life in heaven above. So we can surely see that. The assurance of his continued presence. God's people have every reason to be thankful and to be known for abounding in thanksgiving. And I think all of us can associate with that. Supplication is the fourth letter, making requests of God. If we are faithful, and including the first three, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, this last will prevent prayer from being simply a spiritual shopping list. When we broaden our requests to include others, we enter into one of the most noble realms of prayer, intercession, something which God wants us to do. And 1 Timothy 2:1 says, first of all, when I urge that supplication, prayer, intercession, and that thanksgiving be made for all people, for all people. Okay, what should we be praying for? In the scriptures, God indicates that he wishes us to pray for ourselves. Matthew 6:11, give us this day our daily bread. He asked us to pray for ourselves so that we'll have personal growth in Christ-likeness and devotion to God. He wants us to pray for our family, for spouse, children, parents, siblings, etc., for their nurture and growth in the teaching of the Lord. He wants us to pray for our community. He wants us to pray for our church, for love and unity to prevail, for the spiritual growth of each member, for the gospel to have free course. We are to pray for the nation, for national repentance and consciousness of who God is. We need to pray for our leaders, you know, that they have wise, godly wisdom when they make decisions. And we're to pray for non-believers, for the effort of those involved in teaching them. The sick, of course, that's one that we know, for their restoration and health, for spiritual strength and peace of mind. We need to pray for the poor and the oppressed, such as the homeless, the fatherless, the unborn children, and those other nations oppressed by their own rulers or outside influences. So we've talked about four things. When should we pray? We need to pray, have a set time, or as occasion comes up where we need to pray. With whom? We need to pray with God in secret, and then we also need to pray with one another. And how should we pray? We should pray using the Lord's Prayer as an example. For what should we pray? We have talked about what the things that we should pray for. And the last thing here is maybe we need to develop a prayer strategy. You know, pick out each day of the week, Monday or Sunday, I guess, through Saturday. And maybe Sunday would be that we might be praying for our congregation. You know, Monday, we might pray for our family. Tuesday, our church. Wednesday, our community. Thursday, our nation. Friday, the world. Saturday, the afflicted. So we see that we can develop a strategy. And, you know, this is one of those things that prayer is not just a hit and miss. You do it when you want to or when you feel like there's a need. We see that it's always important to pray, and we need to do it always. We need to do it in everything that we do in life. We need to be earnest, not just going through and saying the words, but we need to be earnest about the fact that if I'm praying for Paul, that I need to be earnest about that. And if he's sick or whatever, I need to be earnest in that prayer. And we need to be praying vigilantly, and we need to be praying without ceasing. So like I said, we looked at when we should pray, with whom we should pray, how we should pray, and for what we should pray for. And we remember the four-letter word Acts, like the book of Acts: adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. And having developing a prayer strategy, and then also have a time that we might have private prayer with God. And I hope that this lesson has brought to light some things that maybe you don't do, you forgot to do and things. But I know this really helped me, because I'm going to have to dig in and get after it, because I'm probably one of the world's worst whenever it comes to that. I try and pray at night, and the next thing you know, I'm waking up in the morning and I say, in God's name, I prayed, because I've fallen asleep and I shouldn't be doing that. So that means that I'm not very earnest or vigilant in my prayer. So anyway, with that, I will turn it back to Carl.